Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey, a myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, we will celebrate and explore the creative self-expression that is our birthright and gift with Nick Curto Presents The Creative Process. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you? Hello, Nick. Hello, Linda. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
I can hear you. We can't hear Nick. Nick?
Yeah, I can't hear him either.
Nick, if you can hear this, please hang up and call back again. Okay, we're going to go to a song until we straighten out this glitch. We're going to listen to If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly.
Hey, it's me.
Greetings, Nick. How are you?
Hi. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it just kind of pulled the plug on me. So sorry about that.
It did.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can
hear you.
Okay, good.
So we're good. All right. I just was saying before that plug was pulled, Hercules, that what you say at the very beginning of my podcast, I love what you say. That is such a beautiful statement. And I wanted to say that to you. You really deserve to hear that. It's quite beautiful.
Thank you so very much. And, you know, I think the world of you. And if you need me, I'll be here listening and learning from both of you.
Okay, well, we're going to do our best. We got, I think, a very exciting show tonight. Again, this podcast program is Nick Curto Presents The Creative Process. And I'm Nick Curto, your host. Creativity is a true gift, and it takes many, many different forms. One may express themselves creatively in art, painting, sculpture, design, music, writing, poetry, fashion, architecture, film, television, performance art, comedy, singing, acting, directing, producing, set design, choreography, dancing, interior design, composing, cooking and baking, and even how we live our lives, which all can be expressed in a very creative way. These areas of creativity are endless, truly endless. My life that I have lived so far, I have lived creatively, and believe me, I wouldn't trade that for the world. My featured guest tonight on this live podcast program is a very, very dear friend. I love her. She's a colleague. Linda Ipanema, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
I was so looking forward to having you on this program. I know you well. I know your incredible work, and I just thought, boy, I got to have her on as soon as we can book her. So very, very happy that you could be here tonight with us all in our listening audience. I would like to do a very, very brief introduction just so they have some idea, the listeners, about some of your creativity. So very briefly, I wanted to just say that you are a performer, you are a singer. You are an amazing, amazing singer of Dixieland, and I've seen you perform live, and you instantly made me a fan. You did. I love what you did. You've been called the Queen of Dixieland, and you're considered a foremost singer of Dixieland jazz. I happen to love that. And you also have many other creative outlets we're going to talk about this evening. And it was just a joy, truly, to see you on the stage performing. And you were in your element. You were enjoying it just as much as the people in your audience. I could see that. And so I just wanted to say that that is a very quick, brief look at what you do, creativity. And so I want to start, if I may, Linda, right at the very, very beginning. So first of all, may I ask, where were you born?
Okay. I was born in Canarsie, Brooklyn.
All right. And were you from a very big family with brothers and sisters, or were you the only child?
I just had one brother, and that was it. He passed away when he was young, unfortunately, but I had one brother, and just me.
Okay, and your mom and dad, can I ask like, what kind of work they did or what they were like, just briefly?
My mother was an artist, painter, and my father was a policeman. He was a captain in the police force.
Oh, so some of the creativity certainly came from your mom then.
Well, it came from my mom, yeah, and she was a wonderful singer too. She didn't sing professionally, but she used to sing around the house the old-time numbers that I actually used to sing. I introduced in my Dixieland band, and I remember those numbers from learning it from her. And she used to sing. She had a lovely voice, very sweet, mellow, sweet, humble type voice that soothed you. And I just loved hearing her sing around the house.
That's a wonderful, wonderful memory. Is she still with us?
No, no, no. They're passed on. Three of them are passed on. My brother died young, and my mother and father, you know, they would have been very, very like old now, maybe 100. And no, they passed on a while ago.
Okay. And also the other question I had in your family tree, which would be aunts, uncles, grandmother, grandfather on both sides, were any of them in any way in the creativity of any kind, any expression of that?
No.
You know,
my artistry, in a way, in the family line is unique because I actually don't take after anyone. It's something that I had the desire to do since I was 4 years old. And I just think it's carried over from another life, couple of these things, you know, these things that I do, because it was just so in me just to do what I do as far as singing, dancing, and acting.
So you, right, I can understand that. And I have felt things like that. That's a whole other story, but I can understand exactly what you're saying.
Just the natural feeling to get up on stage and to perform and deal with people and put those smiles on their faces and feel what they're feeling. You know, that kind of thing. It just all came natural to me, a natural speaker, a natural singer. Although I studied singing many years, acting and dancing many, many years. I did study all that.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that. I would be interested. Also, did you move from where you were to other parts of the country, or were you pretty much there all your life?
No, I moved from Brooklyn. I moved into Manhattan. I did a lot of commercials and things when I was young. And, of course, my mother took me to these auditions. Although, when I became a certain age, I moved out. I moved and I got a studio apartment on 103rd Street in Riverside Drive. And I lived in that apartment for 23 years. But I'll tell you, that apartment I took because it was very convenient. I needed to be near the auditions, near, you know, all my work. And so I moved into the city. And I was there for quite a long time, but it just served its purpose because, you know, one thing led to another. But did I live out of New York? No, I mean, I lived in Queens for a little while and things like that. You know, I moved around a little, but basically I lived on 103rd Riverside Drive before I got married. And I didn't live in other parts of the country, but I did a lot of traveling with national companies of these Broadway shows.
Wonderful. Wow, that's good news.
Yeah, I did a lot of traveling in the States and in Europe as well. I did some traveling there doing national tours, they used to call them, national tours of Broadway shows.
I used to work in summer theater, and it was a circle stage in a huge tent, and it was called the Goober, Gross, and Ford Company, and they all had actors and singers and dancers from New York. So the big New York companies would come to where I was living, which was in Massachusetts. And so I got to meet these people and run scenery and all that.
Yeah, I saw, you know, there's all sorts of people from all over that have the same desire as what I'm discussing now. They come from all the four corners of the world, I should say. And they have that burning desire in their heart to perform and share their talent with the world. And, you know, some exceed more than others, but all in all, we're all one, really. And we all do the same thing, reaching out to the public, their hearts.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And dedicated people are the performers for sure. You mentioned your schooling. Can I ask you, what did you take acting and singing lessons, or what schools did you go to?
Well, you know, when I lived in Canarsie with my mother and my father, my brother, I did all the schooling there, you know, the basic schooling. And then at a certain age, I left all that. You know, I graduated. I went to college for a little while. I majored in theater. But then I just left that because it just didn't have a good fit. And I was frustrated. So that's when I moved into the city. And at that point, I studied with great teachers. And I studied for many years, on and off, in between my work. You know, there was always something to learn, always something to do, always some scenes to go over from very interesting plays. Just never ended. So it just was like a continual cycle of study, learn. And, of course, that all came from the heart, because your desire, your burning desire to do all that just – lends itself to continue to go, keep going and doing and auditioning until I don't know when, till the end, till you reach your point or you never stop. I mean, there's no end sometimes to showbiz people. They go on until they can't go on anymore.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You're right. And there's so many different.
I mean, I've hired Dixieland fellas that were 85 years old, and they still played the bass and played the piano like you could not even believe, like they were like 20 years old. They're all dead now because, you know, this is how it works. Cycles of life, we pass away. So it's hard to find some of these people now that play that type of piano and play that type of bass that I would need.
Well, I saw you performing with the, what's it called, the Dixieland, what's the title?
Well, it's Linda Ipanema and the Dixie Cats. That's one of my bands. I have several bands, but that was one of them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that band, well, this is how it started. I mean, I did a lot of movie work. I traveled a lot. I did a lot of national companies. I did so much. I also did modeling. I did so much. And then one day I decided to go back to singing with bands, and I decided to form my own band. And this is how it worked. I walked into on 46th Street. It's called that block on 46th Street. It's all restaurants and musical places, where it was this place called the Red Laser 2. And I walked in there and I saw a hot band. I walked in there with an older gentleman that was a friend of mine. I saw this band, and I said, this band is terrific. So my friend knew the band leader, and I got up and I did a couple of numbers with the band. It was a beautiful band, 7-piece hot Dixieland band, the best musicians in town. And that's when I decided to start my own Dixieland band. And I learned every single and I merged with this band leader. This band leader and I became friends for 28 years. Actually, he just passed away a month ago. And I merged with him, and we formed our own band, Linda Ipanema and the Dixie Cats. He still kept his band, but he worked in my band a lot. And I booked Linda Ipanema and the Dixie Cats all over New York, all over Jersey, Virginia, Delaware. It just went on and on. It was a seven-piece band. Costumes, arrangements, wonderful array of the music menu was just terrific of all the Dixieland numbers. It was a hot entity. And I did that for 20-some-odd years. And till this day, I still do it. But I do other music,
incredible.
Too. I do swing, blues, jazz. I do rock. I do I do the music up to, you know, the latest music, the 80s, 90s. I used to do a lot of weddings, too. So a lot of these young people, they want certain tunes you have to learn. I did it all. But basically, the money maker, the eye catcher, the thing that hit the spot was the Dixieland Band, because it was just a wonderful array of musicians and a wonderful show.
It's great music. It's just wonderful music to listen to, and there's a lot of joy in that music. And you absolutely reflect that in your performance, and you're so at ease.
I have a great Dixie.
And you make
I have
everybody
a great CD.
In the audience. I'm sorry.
No, I have a great CD. Linda, it's called To New Orleans with Love. It's a Dixieland CD. I'm going to send you one.
Oh, it can people buy it online somewhere?
Yeah, sure. They could buy it online.
And where would they go for that?
They would just have to go to my website, you know.
And what's
Linda
it called?
Linda Ipanema and the Dixie Cats. And then
on the top
you'll see purchase CDs and all that. You just go there and then, you know, you find out the information how to purchase my CD.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool. I will also take a look at that. And also, do you have any YouTube performances there?
Yeah, I have YouTube on my website, Linda Ipanema and the Dixie Cats. There's you can view a lot of different shows. I have a wonderful show at a senior development. It's about 8 or 9, 10 minutes, and it's I'm even dancing with the seniors and all. It's a great show. There's about 4 musicians and myself. And then there are other things. There are outdoor concerts. There are I performed a lot with my husband. So there's a library show that you can see that we sing together. So there's several things that you can view.
Well, that's wonderful, not surprising at all. And you really do play to the audience very much so. And I've seen you spot somebody in the audience and kind of sing to them and that sort of thing. That is so wonderful a quality. And it just so works. I've seen you do that. And I wanted to ask you, were there any times when you're performing like that that people have just somehow got up on stage and want to dance with you or sing with you, or any stories about the way public?
Oh, I have a lot of stories like that. Usually I do a lot of comedy in my between my singing too, because I do a lot of talking with the audience and I kid around a lot. Husband and wives, are you married to her? And, you know, I carry on like that. And, you know, I get the audience going, but you'd be very, very surprised. The people that are very quiet and sitting and they're all by themselves, I see, those are the ones that I get up. They don't want to get up at first because they're either shy or they're nervous or they have anxiety about doing that kind of thing. I get them up and they have the joy of their life. They dance. I dance with the audience. I dance with different people. I get them up and I get them dancing. I get them singing with me on certain numbers. It could be 500 people. It could be 1,000 people. I handle the audience as is. No, it doesn't matter. And, you know, it's just a wonderful experience for the people coming to see something like this and for me to share what I have. So it's just a great experience for the entire night, both ways.
Oh, I know that. I know that's true, and I could see that easily going on, and the magic that would be done by that kind of. It's an immediate performance. It's like happening right that second, and it's very exciting. It just is, and you do a wonderful job with that. I wanted to ask you: have you ever done your act with your band on cruises or things like that?
Yeah, I was on Carnival. Carnival hired us for some years. We used to do that in, through the Carnival line. Yeah. And as far as cruises, those are the ones that's the cruise line that I worked for.
Carnival, did you ever meet Kathy Lee? She used to do all the commercials for Carnival.
No, I never met Kathy Lee.
No, but
I know she used to do those commercials. They just do those commercials, but they're not on the cruise line when you perform.
Right, right. That's probably true. I want to talk about the different styles of music that you do. Do you have a favorite? And would you name the different styles that you get into as far as music goes?
Well, you know, I do all kinds of things. I do some jazz, you know, like Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, people like that. I would do some swing, hot swing, like jump, jive, and wail, things like that, flip, flop, and fly, straighten up and fly right, songs of that sort. I throw in some Dixieland, you know, Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans, or Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate. That gets the women up in those crowds that we were just discussing, and those crowds that people come to see the band. And
sure.
What else? And I do different type of music. I even do children's shows, you know, children's type of music too. Yeah. So I love children so much, and I love the way they respond, and I love the way I get them up to dance. I did a lot of teaching children tap dancing. For many years, I did that in between, and I just used to get the thrill of my life to see how they developed. So, you know, I can go into a lot of different stories, but as far as the music, I can do all kinds of music. I can do a lot of beautiful ballads, What's New, Am I Blue, I'm Sentimental Over You. I mean, it just goes on and on. Then I do a lot of kind of jive music. Depends on what the client would want. I get his feel of ideas, and then I formulate the sets with the musicians.
So you really read into the audience. You see what's going, what they're responding to. Have you ever like changed in midstream and started doing like Frank Sinatra?
Oh yeah, I do that all the time. My musicians know that. I change in midstream because I see sometimes when I set something. I see that I have to go a little more in another direction, and I just do it spontaneously. We don't even read music. I mean, a lot of us. I mean, we read music, but we don't have to read charts because we work together so often, and we know all the music. We just do it. I just call it, and I give the key, I give the tempo, and that's it.
That's wonderful. That
like Louis
so
Armstrong
immediate.
Used to say, if you really do Dixieland music, you throw your charts out. You don't need charts.
Well, that's
true.
I can
say.
Understand.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I even did big band music,
so
too. I've sung with some big bands.
Yeah, and the fact that the band can really follow you that quickly and immediately and just they get what you're doing and they go, you know, musically they're supporting you like that. That is so wonderful to have that that response and that connection with bands. That's wonderful. You have that. And you do have that. I saw it.
Well, I work with a certain set of musicians. I work with the same musicians all the time. If somebody cannot make it, I have some subs. And they know the routine as well. So that's why it's so tight-knit type of performance. It's a tight-knit type of performance because, well, lately, as you know, nobody's working. Nobody's doing anything because of what's going on. But I'm just talking, you know, prior, like last year before March when this whole thing collapsed, we are very tight-knit. Even now, if I was to get up and call some tunes, they would get up with their instruments. We'd still fall right into the place where we left off.
Yeah, I could see that. I could certainly understand that because the rapport is there. The connection is there, and it's wonderful to have that. And, you know, mm-hmm. You're just mentioning something that I was going to bring up also tonight because I know some performers who are so sad that their audiences are no longer there, that they don't have the opportunity to share their talent with an audience and have the audience respond. And some of those wonderful performers are so sad, trying to go day to day, hoping and praying that there'll be a time when this is over. So my heart goes out, I have to say that right here, to all the performers of various kinds that are going through this terrible time.
Well,
and
it is terrible.
Too, right?
I mean, I'm going to agree with that because, you know, all of a sudden being active and doing your thing and doing it for years and you're on a roll of just doing and performing and booking your gigs and your acts and contracts and everything else stops. And, you know, the first month, okay. The second month, okay. The first 6 months, then you start to feel it. But now, you know, everybody is just, I don't know. I mean, I do some virtual things online, you know. Some of the senior places or some of the houses I used to work for, outdoor concerts, I mean, they have some sort of a live stream thing. So we do some of that. But not everybody has the mechanics to hook all that up. So sometimes what I have prepared also is a show that's already prepared, and I just send it to them. And if they like it, you know, they'll pay me. I'll send them an invoice. But that's the extent of performing. I think some people in the island, Long Island, those restaurants, some of those restaurants, I think some trios and things are starting to perform there. In different locations, it's different. But I know here, you're in the city, and so am I. I mean, it's just nothing. A lot of these places are closing down, by the way.
Yeah, it's so sad. In fact, I deliberately haven't been over to the theater section since March, because it would be heartbreaking to see all those theaters closed. I just don't want to see that. It would make me sad. It really would make me sad to. Because a theater is such a special place. It's such a theaters have so much to give and do. Even old theaters, you go in them and you feel vibes. You feel these feelings that these were performers. People were having a good time. People were learning and singing and dancing. And the vibes sometimes, and even old theaters are still there. Have you ever had experiences like that?
Well, you mean like empty theaters with nobody coming, or
yeah,
what?
Well, there's been some times when I've gone to something like that, and I feel vibes that are there.
No, I haven't had an experience
like
this pandemic. I mean, so completely dead. Everybody's afraid to be near each other, or even be near each other with masks. I mean, now we have vaccines. I don't. That's another subject at another time. But you know. We don't want to get into that right now. But, you know, they think they're safe with the vaccines. Everybody's ready to take a vaccine. Things are opening up a little bit more. But, you know, who knows where that's going to take us? That's something in the future. And we're not God. We really don't know. But what we have to do is take it day by day. That's the only thing. We take it day by day. We reach out. We do what we can. And eventually, we're never going to go back to where we were. We're not going to do it. It's not happening. But we will move ahead to something new, something that we can do. And we have to keep an upper lip and an open mind that we're going to move ahead and it's going to be okay.
Now, I totally get that, and I agree with you, too. And you had mentioned something earlier that was an interesting thing, too, was that some of the performers, singers especially, and some actors have done some network shows on the computer, and they have charged a ticket price of something, and some of that has gone to the out-of-work performers. There's been many actors and singers have done that, and they have been on the internet. And they have a ticket system, and I've seen that, and it's really it's a way
system,
to.
Yeah. I don't work that.
Yeah.
I don't know that about that too much for myself. I just do the Zoom. You know, I have a piano player I work with. It's just the piano player and myself. We dress up. For instance, I did a couple of Mardi Gras programs. Mardi Gras wasn't too long ago. Fat Tuesday, and was February 16th. We did two of those. Back and back to two different places. And so they have the hookup. We just, you know, they open their window, we get in there, we start our program. I send them an invoice after that, and this is how it works. This is, you know, this is what's happening now as far as what I do. Then we have the pre-recorded
right.
programs, as I said. They don't have the hookup for Zoom. They don't have any of that. So I send a pre-recorded show, like a pre-recorded St. Patty's show, let's say. I would send this pre-recorded St. Patty's show, and they would pay me a fee for that show. So that's how I work. But there are other ways of doing it, too, and there are donations and things like that. I work it this way. I send the invoices. They pay me. I pay the piano player, and I also pay his wife because she hooks everything up for us while we're, you know, and she stays steady and she watches everything and all. So I make sure I get a budget so I can, you know, at least I get paid well and I pay them well, and that's it. Sometimes we don't get paid
but
we do it anyway.
No, of course. And you wear a lot of hats because the way I'm hearing this from you, as far as booking places and as far as the costumes and the, a lot of that is really you
visual
doing all that
work. Visual is very important. Visual. It's very important. I work in a lot of senior developments and senior places. Visual for the elderly is very important. I mean, there are magnificent people out there that have fine voices, wonderful personalities. But if you're going to go like Joe Schmo with sandals and dungarees and a T-shirt, visually, it's not going to match your talent. If you go really shining with those crystals and all those diamonds and shining, let's say, then that will match your talent. And it's very important. I used to have a class I used to teach to people. It was called Stage Presentation. These people were magnificent that came to my class. Although they didn't know how to dress, they didn't even know how properly to hold a microphone. They didn't know how to speak on stage. It was called Stage Presentation, and we used to go through all what they did on stage, and I used to work with them. We used to have about 10 in the class. This was years ago, and it was a wonderful class. A lot of those people came out shining, working day after day, but they were getting a lot of gigs just from my class.
And so you're seeing the growth of those people, and because of your instruction and encouragement, they were learning and they were changing for the better. That's terrific. Mm-hmm. And you were able to see some of those people in a later stage where they were taking what they learned and using it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I see them nicely, beautiful dressed, the girls in nice, beautiful dresses and a gown and their hair up, beautiful makeup, high heels, you know, attractive looking entertainers, clean cut, attractive beauties. And that's where you get your jobs. That's how there's a lot of competition. You know that. You're in the business a long time, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of competition. Well, if you're going to put your foot forward, put your best foot forward. And so you did the best you can. You looked the best you can at that time and did the best you could do. If you throw your energy, I'm going to say this to people who are listening now. If you just throw that energy out to the universe, let's say you don't get that job that you want to get. That job meant so much to you, but you did not get it after audition, you will get something else equivalent because you already threw that wonderful energy out to the universe. The universe is smart. They know they're going to reciprocate. So you will just wait and you will see, boom, you got something. It wasn't what you wanted, but it's still, you got this job and it's wonderful too. You know, always remember that. You have to just keep an upper lip and keep the faith.
Well, that is great advice. Absolutely. You can use that for almost anything. That's really good advice, though. And you certainly are a survivor. You certainly have been. And are, and that's quite a good quality. And that's good advice. My drama coach, I remember he said to us once, he said, everyone, you're talented. You're talented. You know you're talented. We're going to perfect that, he said. But if you go to 99 auditions and they say, I'm sorry, you're too tall. I'm sorry, you're too short. I'm sorry, you're too heavy. I'm sorry, you're too thin. Your voice is wrong. And there's 99 times when they're going to say, I'm sorry, but we're not going to use you. But the 100th time you're going to hear, you are so perfect. Who's your agent? We need to make a contract now. He said, if you're not willing to do the 99, sorry, but no, we can't use you. You shouldn't really be in the field. It's you have to believe in yourself, like you're saying, and you have to understand and perfect your talent. And that 100th time, you're going to say, you are perfect. We want you. And he said, that is the way you go.
Many years ago, I used to say to myself, listen, I know who I am. I'm going to keep going. No matter what anybody said to me, I know who I am. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going until I get it.
That's believing in yourself, believing in your talent, and going for it. And it, absolutely, you have to have that. And it's also, you can learn that too. You can learn it, but if you have it already, and you can use that, and it really helps you along in life, let alone looking for particular jobs. I remember one time I was doing graphic design, and I had a portfolio. And I on my lunch hour, I went to this interview, and I walk in, and I just felt something in the office that I was there, but I walked in, was very negative. I just felt it. I don't know what, but I did. And I said, hi, you know, I'm here to see, I have a 12 noon interview, and would you let him know? And she said, he said that he'll let us know when he's ready. And I sat there for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. This is my, you know how you feel, right? You just feel, hey, you know, I got to get back to my job. So then I said to the secretary, I'm terribly sorry to interrupt you, but could you possibly ask him how much longer? Because I'm on my lunch hour. And she looked terrified. She said, okay. You know, like she was, you know, she was afraid. She was afraid of him. And she goes in and says something, and you hear him say, rah, 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 rah. It sounded like a walrus in the other room. It was not a nice person, you know? So then she said, okay, he said you can come in now. But she's saying this like she was frightened, you know? So I'm thinking, what's going on? Anyhow, Linda, I go in, I say hello. He doesn't acknowledge my hello. And he says, sit down, sit down. And he doesn't even look up at me. And then he says, "Put your book on my desk like that." Not even looking at me, nothing. Mm. And he takes a page and turns it really fast. And then he takes another page and turns it really fast. And I said, "Okay, you can stop now." And he went, "What? What?" And I said, "You can stop now. I'm going to take my book and I am leaving now." And he went, "What? What are you saying?" And I said, "I'm okay, but I think that I really feel very uncomfortable with you
and
the entire office. And I just feel as though I wouldn't want to work here. I just wouldn't want to, even on a freelance basis, sir. Sorry. I take my portfolio." Now, I have to tell you that the typing and all the office, everything stops. I could hear in the other room. It was silence. Total silence, because they were hearing, obviously, what I was saying to their really grumpy boss. And I take my portfolio. I can hear my footsteps as I leave. You know, I don't look back. I didn't say thank you. I just walked out. And you could hear people and see people like frozen, like deer in the headlights, you know, because nobody had ever talked to him like that.
So you know what used to get me when I used to audition many years ago when I started out more or less in the earlier years? They used to let you sing 16 bars and that was it. You know,
oh, my God.
I mean, come on. Just 16 bars.
Wow.
That was it. I couldn't understand that.
That's nuts. That's like saying to a Shakespearean actor, say one line and that's it. That's your audition.
I know.
Oh,
listen,
goodness,
I had many disappointments, but you know what? Those disappointments were good. I didn't realize it then. They were okay. They were just a little disturbing at the moment, but I just kept going.
Yeah.
And I had people around me that encouraged me too. They were like angels that came from nowhere that kept encouraging me because they knew that I had something. But there was a lot of others that had something. But you can't look at it like that. You just need to have the faith and know it's going to hit sooner or later. Look at Meryl Streep. They used to continually tell her, you're not good looking. You're not pretty. You're not this. So she knew that she would hit it because now look at her. All these years, all these awards, right?
That's a good story.
She's infamous.
Fran Drescher, who plays the nanny, that's still one of my favorite programs. I see the reruns all the time. Very good acting, very good scripts, and every actor in there is so wonderful. I could see you in the nanny. I could see you as one of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I could see you doing that easily. I really could. And she said that she didn't have a job and that people told her that with her voice, that voice she has in her laugh, that she'd never get anywhere in acting. She was told that many times.
I know.
And she said, I was on an airline and I spotted someone of influence.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know
I
that story, that man. And then she got off the plane. She went to the office and all. I know that story. Yeah.
Isn't that a great story, though? Isn't that terrific?
Yeah.
And what talent that she has. Oh, my God.
There's a lot of talented people out there. Unfortunately, the drive, the goal, I mean, you have to stay with it. And, you know, with this pandemic, it has put a dent emotionally, spiritually on people. I mean, there are people, I mean, they're healthy, but they have these mental breakdowns because they don't know where to go with themselves. It's been much too long of a time where they're stagnant. They're just not able to move, to do, go. And then they're afraid to do anything. You're afraid to do anything because you might get the coronavirus. So there's a lot of fear and anxiety, more so. And I think universally, everybody is feeling it from A to Z, all colors, all life itself is feeling this emotional. I don't know, we're being like suffocated with this emotional thing that's going on with the coronavirus.
No, that's absolutely true. And even in an elevator or places like that where you could be in there with another person and they've got their masks and you've got your mask or whatever you're wearing. And so you can't see their face too well. And there's something really disturbing about that. And you don't get you don't get the smile anymore. You don't get a nod. And it's isolation, and people are really feeling that. I think that it's going right down the board. Everybody is feeling that right
now. Well, another nervous thing is, I mean, a lot of people are taking vaccinations, and some people don't feel like taking vaccinations. They're afraid it's going to ruin their bodies, you know. So,
that's
another fear, you know, and how could they go on without the vaccination when everybody's taking the vaccination? Are they going to still be safe? I mean, all these thoughts. I know we're going off track here a little bit, but all of these thoughts are going through people's minds and they walk around day after day after day drudgingly with this effect of should I take the vaccination or should I not take the vaccination? What will happen to me if I take the vaccination? What will happen to me if I don't take the vaccination? I'm talking not only actors, everybody.
No, it's right down the line, right down the line. And people who are dancers, for instance, and their creativity, but they depend upon exercise. They depend upon routines. And it's a very physical thing. And for dancers, this is insane to have this kind of time.
Oh, yeah, they can't go to class and be near each other.
Right. It's just a whole other level of, you know, what do they do? You know, and in New York City, there are many incredible dancers and places to go to rehearse. And
their life just had stopped because, you know, I mean, they worked out with the bar, ballet and all that. I mean, all kinds of dance classes. I mean, that all stopped for them. I think a lot of these dancers, you know, I heard to other friends of mine, a lot of these people that double up in apartments and all, they had to give up their apartments. They had to move back to their hometown until this blew over because they don't have anywhere to live. They can't pay their rent.
You're absolutely right. What do you do? And some of them, a lot of them have actually moved back home, which they never thought they would ever do again.
Yes, a lot of them moved back home now because they live with their family or a cheaper place, but they can't make a living. There's no paycheck.
You know, there's a lot of people that are living in the basement of their parents' home, and because you know, but you have to make it work. You have to let things go. You have to make it work and do everything you can. You know, I heard this sermon once, and it's kind of parallels what you were just saying, Linda, a few minutes ago. The preacher said that you want something so bad that you can almost taste it, and you pray to the Lord. You're praying hard every day. Please grant that to me. And then the day comes, and you don't get it. He said, you know what? He said, people who say the Lord never heard my prayers, the preacher said, you know what? Yes, he did, but he's got something mm-hmm. better for you down the road that you don't know about. He said, trust him. He knows what's – I love that speech, right?
Oh, yes, I've heard that. You know, when you pray, you know, people want the miracle right away. You pray, you put it out there, you then put it on the side because it's taken care of already and move on.
Yep.
All of a sudden,
that's right.
out of the blue, your prayer is answered, you see? You don't sit there waiting in a chair after you pray that the miracle should come right now, you know? And people have
yep.
to think, oh, is it going to come? My faith gets weak then, you know?
Yep. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's exactly how you have to be.
I only
and
learned
also,
that, though, in later life. I didn't learn it in earlier life. I was like
well,
everyone else.
But you learned it. But you did learn
I learned
it. And you're using it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think I wanted to talk on the subject of humor and fun. And you can manufacture that on your own to a great extent. Your outlook of seeing the absurdity of things and finding fun in that, if you can. And sometimes that kind of mentality will pull you through some really bad times in your life. I know in my own life that has happened. And if I didn't have my sense of humor and laugh at it and say, you know what? Okay, you know what? I can see humor in that. Okay, let's move on. You know, let's move on to a different place. It will be okay in the future and not dwell upon something that was sad and not releasing it. Do you agree with that?
Well, that's a healthy way of looking at it. I mean, not everybody, there's too many people holding on to too many things, especially here and now with the fear and the anxiety
yep.
because of what we're going through. But you must have humor in life. My mother used to always say that. Find something humorous in that situation. Otherwise, we walk around heavier than what we are, not being able to move, not even being able to think and walk right, because we're so bogged down with all what you just said. You know, if you can't find that little humor in life, you can't laugh. Laughter is the best healing for the entire body, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. When
oh, yeah.
you laugh like crazy, those hormones, man, I'll tell you, open up.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely true. It's the best medicine you could have. And you can use that creatively, too. Sometimes if something is scaring you, you can use creativity to kind of look through it and look beyond it and get out of the fear factor into, boy, he thinks he's really tough. Look at him. You know, do something, whatever it is, like, you know, she thinks she's so hot and she's very snooty, but you know what? She's very cold. And look at the reality of what people are projecting. And
mm-hmm.
you can instead of fearing that or being angry at that, you can turn that into a kind of a humor that, you know, to get through that kind of awkward time. And that
well,
really
you know what it is?
You
have to talk to yourself and you have to stop yourself, because what happens is you get caught up in the lifestyle of everybody else, of what's going on, the humdrum of, let's say now, pandemic and anxiety and fear and vaccinations and coronavirus tests and all that. We're in that state right now. So this is a very unusual state of being that is existing in life right now. But aside
yeah.
from that, if you can just stop yourself and say, hey, I'm caught up in this. I can't be caught up in this. I can't move on. You must stop and try to find that pleasant, a moment, that humorous moment, that quiet moment, even if you have to go internally inside, You must stop. But a lot of people don't stop. They don't know about this. They just keep going. They're enjoying their anxiety and they're enjoying their fear, I guess.
No, that's not good. That is not healthy, as you know. That is not healthy at all. I'm
sure,
by the way, that
just... Well, they're just so stuck in that, they can't get out of it, you know.
That's right. You know, I know that before a performance, you might have, I'm sure you've had, times when you just were... You didn't feel like doing it, like it was just before you would go on stage, perhaps, and do your number or do your acting, whatever you were going to do, and you just, you know, you just didn't feel like it. And yet, when they say you're on, boom, something turns on, and you leave whatever you were withholding you down, and you become radiant, you become funny, talented, you go out there, and you make everybody feel fun and joy, and they love the music, and they're swaying back and forth. Some of them are getting up and dancing. And so you're changing the whole atmosphere by your positive first thinking and then acting. That must be a wonderful experience for you.
The thing that where you have the handle on that, and I'll tell people that are in this field, and this is what I do, you totally, totally relax. You go on stage and you totally relax. When you're relaxed and then you jump into doing your thing, it just goes with the flow. But if you get very uptight, like, oh, people are looking at me, what are they going to think about me? I hope it works out. I hope my musicians, and you just, your mind gets carried away with all kinds of negative thoughts. Then it puts you in that state of mind of an uncertainty, and you carry that through throughout your performance, whether it's an acting piece or a singing piece. So what I try to do, I mean, I'm not a magician. I mean, I'm not God. I just do as my inside mind tells me. I totally relax, and I go on stage with joy, with glee, with you know, all what I want to give to people. I think about the people, what they would like to see, how I can make them happy. I just go with that thought. I don't let anything stop me, and that's it.
And it works. I've seen it work. It does work, and you do it so well, and you make people have joy and fun and it, a good feeling. Your performance is just a very good feeling.
That's the important thing, the good feeling. When people come out with a good feeling, regardless of what it is, that's where your success lies, and bringing the good feeling into their minds, hearts, and emotions.
That's it. And you'll always have work when you have that, because people need and want that. And you certainly deliver. You certainly do. I want to tell the listening audience that if they have any comments or perhaps a question for either Linda or myself, we certainly would welcome that. I'm going to give you my email address. And if it's for me or Linda, I will get it to her. I'm going to give it to you now. So if you want to get a pen and a piece of paper, and I'll give it to you slowly, and I'll do it twice. So my email address is nicknyny, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, nicknyny, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. And we certainly would welcome any comments or questions you might have. Linda, I want to tell you, I've had such a good time doing the interview with you. I knew it was going to be a party. It has been. It really has been. And also, you really dug deep into some of the emotions and other things that go on. And I was hoping we could do that. And we certainly have covered that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you a part two in the maybe the late spring. If you have, I'll give you some dates, and we'll see if we can get you a part two. So that I like to talk about the actual shows, because I saw your bio, and you have been in a number of amazing movies and shows of various kinds, and I want to get into the specifics of that. I just think that would be really interesting, and all the creativity that goes into that to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm a booking agent, too. I don't have that on my – I book 40 bands a year.
What? Another hat, yet another hat, of course.
Yeah, I don't have that on my website because it's something, because I really focus on my entertaining, but I'm a booking agent for companies here in New York.
Oh, I didn't even know.
But we could do that in part two.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love that, so I'm going to give you some dates. Now, I want to ask my producer, how much time do we have? Are you ready to do my closing?
Yes, do the closing because we have 4 minutes, and in 3 minutes they'll start interrupting us.
Okay, we'll do. Linda, my heartfelt thanks to you. Much love to you always.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Hercules. It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you,
so
too.
This is Nick.
Awesome.
Oh, we did. So this is Nick Curto for The Creative Process, wishing you all an enlightening and exciting journey as you find your own path to deeply go to creative energies that you have more fully and develop your talents in whatever fields that you want to express your life and how it takes you. Till next time, embrace creativity, stay safe, and be kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Much love to you all out there. Take very good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, and thanks again, Nick, and thanks again, Linda, and thanks everybody who's tuned in, whether you called in, whether you're listening from home live, or whether you're going to check it out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, and we're going to close with Michael Duncan's God Bless the World.
God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world. God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world. God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world.
May God bless us all.
God bless the world. God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world.
Dear Lord, shine your face upon us and bless us, every one of us.
God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world. God bless the world. Sing it with me now. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world.
God bless.